You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well. Man, I was so disappointed. I thought we were finally getting that Legend of Zelda movie we've been waiting for. Hardy Har. Yes, because it has Link in the name. It was either that or talk shit about pseudoscience.
You can call it Arrow 404.
What? Now you lost me. See, I have no idea.
So nerdy, doesn't get it. That's the missing link. Yeah. Get it?
Does not load.
Error.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that was even
comedy.
We're reviewing the new Laika animated film Missing Link that just came out, or is about to come out, with Michael Reoajas.
Hazies.
And David Bhopal.
Hello.
Wow, I was so excited for this, partially because I think the last Laika film that came out, Kubo and the Two Strings, is one of my favorite animated films of all time.
Yeah, no, it's... Laika's put out a lot of good stuff, you know, and they're really one of the only studios out there that's doing that kind of stop-motion animation
and
as well, which is really, you know, complex and beautiful.
Yes, previously.
Yes.
Before this movie.
Wow. Okay. Well, they had some help.
Well, I'll be honest. I have never been a huge Laika guy on the whole. All their movies I admire but don't like, except for Kubo, which I think is amazing. But I've always been like, God, I love your visual sensibilities. I love that you're trying something really different we've never seen before. But I'm not really with you on the story here. I mean, even Coraline, which is based on a Gaiman book, one of my favorite writers.
I love that movie.
Very mixed about it. Yeah.
Okay.
But
this, you're in a minority there.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a well-loved movie.
But this new one, Missing Link, to me, I'll be honest, kind of felt more like a Illumination film to me.
What does Illumination do?
Minions.
Ice Age. You're not wrong. There's not a lot of meat on this bone.
Yeah, this is Chris Butler making this, who made Paranorman.
Which was wonderful. I loved Paranorman.
Once again, one that couldn't get into the story, thought it was beautiful looking.
Get out of this house, that's yours.
Many things. But let's get into actually what this movie is about. This follows, I think, the best part of this whole cast here, and the best part of the movie, Hugh Jackman playing Sir Lionel Frost, with a nose that could cut through steel.
Could attack the Loch Ness Monster with it.
Yeah. Yes. Who is a paranormal investigator. He is... We're not talking about, like, the Winchester brothers here. He is more of a...
He's the old school, like, Victorian adventurer, you know? Kind of like an Alan Quatermain type of guy. But his specialty is xenobiology. In other words, he...
Cryptozoology.
Exactly. Yeah. Where he's looking for... You know, rumored creatures.
And he's good at it too, which is what caught me off.
Chupacabra, yes, yeah, and that's one thing that's nice because it would have been, you know, a very easy and lazy decision could have been made to make him like a bumbler, and he's not a bumbler.
No, he's quite good at what he does.
The first part of the movie, we see him, you know, facing off against the Loch Ness Monster, and actually does a pretty good job of it. Unfortunately, his assistant. Kind of a bumbler, so
exactly. He quickly is like, okay, that was it. I'm done. I'm out. I can't take any more of this. But Sir Lionel Frost's biggest his biggest goal is to be part is inclusion. There's a group of explorers are very hoity-toity, especially their leader,
The Royal Geographic Society.
Yeah,
Lord
Piggott Dunsby, voiced by Stephen Fry. And he's constantly trying to prove to them that what he does is worthwhile, and they want nothing to do with him because they think all the cryptozoology stuff is nonsense, which it is, but that's beside the point.
It's also heavily implied that they actually are just more hunters than they actually are adventurers.
Yeah.
Because, like,
yeah.
Every picture on the wall is just, we conquered a thing, it's just them with a dead animal every single fucking picture.
Right. And he goes, look, I have a thing, I got sent a letter from someone that says, in Washington State, in the United States... There is actual evidence that of the existence of the Sasquatch, and I'm going to go there and prove the Sasquatch exists. And they all laugh at him, and he's like, well, I'll tell you what. If I come back with actual proof, you have to let me join this society. And Lord Piggott Dunsby says, reluctantly, well, okay, fine, and then immediately goes, we are the more cultured people. We need to prove this is nonsense. Send some thugs to go kill him. And so the rest of the movie is him.
One of whom is Timothy Oliphant.
So. Which caught me the fuck off
guard. Oh, my God, really?
Yeah.
I didn't catch that.
The bald guy is Timothy Oliphant, and it caught me the fuck off
guard. Yeah, Willard Stink is the secondary antagonist here. But so he goes there, and he, in fact, surprisingly, immediately catches the Sasquatch, who...
They cut to the fucking chase on that, which is good. I mean, I think it would have been a mistake to have spent a lot of time where he's, like, you know, goofing off. And the reason it is so easy is because it turns out the letter sent to him is sent by the missing link himself, the Sasquatch.
Yeah, voiced by Zach Galifianakis, who they immediately designate as Mr. Link.
And Susan.
And so, and later Susan. So
which
goes,
I loved.
So how do I, you know, Sir Lionel Frost is like, I need this, this is my whole goal, I've got to be able to prove it, and, but what does Mr. Link want? And he's like, I have heard that there are Yeti, up in the Himalayas.
Yeti.
I thought it's Yeti for multiple.
It's
just Yeti. Yeah.
It's a Yeti is the collective noun and the singular noun. Yeah.
Are there bad guys like the Sith, but with scythe or something?
And I think they're my cousins.
Last of the Yeti.
And all my relatives are dead, so I want you to take me to go join them. So they form a partnership along the way. They team up with Adelina Fortnite, played voiced by Zoe Saldana, who is someone who's previously had experiences with Sir Lionel Frost and isn't overall fond of him, but she has the map to the Yeti with her father, a previous cryptozoologist adventurer, once had. And so they all three team up for this adventure, being close on their tail the entire time, William Stank, Timothy Oliphant, chasing after them. So it is an adventure film that goes to, I thought, exactly, largely, on the whole, the places I thought it was going to go to.
Yes, there's no surprises here.
Yeah. No, not really. I mean, I know you liked, I think you
liked
it the
best. I liked
it
a little more than you guys did, I feel.
I liked it more than Chris did, apparently.
Yeah, I guess we both liked it more than Chris
did. And here's the bit, in that I ended up really liking the characters. I like the character of Lionel Frost. I like the character of Mr. Link, or Susan, if you will. I even thought Adelina Fortnite was pretty interesting. The antagonists, not so much. You get the evil English lord and the evil, like, bounty hunter come, like, you know, cryptozoologist himself type. But and they leave, you know, they're not bad. They just, you know, they just don't really do much of anything other than fulfill their purpose. But I like the heroic trio, and you know, I almost kind of felt like, you know, I almost wish this movie had you know, had almost started from the end, in which, like, the Yeti and Lionel Frost are already working together.
The Sasquatch.
Because I like the chemistry of the two voice actors. You know, I found their interaction enjoyable. But yeah, unfortunately, there's just not much of a story here, because it tells you up front what it's going to do, then it doesn't, and, you know, at the end, to no one's surprise, it doesn't work out to how the two protagonists want it to work out, but it works out anyway. And, you know,
yeah, they find that third path.
Yeah, you could see it coming from a mile away. There's just nothing new under the sun.
See, I think my biggest problem is that I did not particularly care for Zach Galifianakis as Mr. Link. I found most of his shtick kind of dull, and obviously based on much older cartoon references. There's a lot of very old Looney Tunes type humor going on here.
There's a lot of who's on first kind of humor.
Yeah, and
so you're never going to go wrong with me with that.
I enjoyed it still.
I will admit that I'm an easy touch when
it comes to that. And there's like, oh, poop tastes good type jokes. A lot of stuff I just was like, okay, you can't do any better than this. That I would just kind of like, this isn't terrible. I'm not offended by how bad it is. But it's not, like I said, it's at an illumination level. It's like, this isn't great. It's just okay.
I feel like you did. Actually, you didn't watch the Minions, did you?
I did.
Did you?
I thought I liked Minions better than this.
I know. That's just insane. Wow, yeah. That's just insane. I've saw
it's that this isn't as cooling as Minions, but
this isn't. I want to shoot myself like Despicable Me 3.
I didn't see that one.
I took that bullet for you. I remember that.
Yeah, that's true.
I quite like the first Despicable Me movie.
The first one and the second one are pretty good.
I like the first two, and I like Minions. I did not see a third one. I heard it was not very
good. Do not watch the third one.
Yeah, fair
but
enough.
We're not talking about that.
Yeah.
My biggest issue with the film was that Hugh Jackman's character, I felt like he learned his lesson kind of randomly. Because he's so, like, up his own ass about everything. So when things go wrong, one of the first things he says is, like, oh, man, this sucks for me more than anybody else. Like, and this is, like, literally, like, almost the last act of this film. And then they're like, don't do that. And he's like, I guess I won't do that. And then he learned his lesson. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's obvious where they're going with that, you know, the moral lesson of the film or whatever. And yet at the same time, he's the best character in the movie. He's the one you like the most. You're like, I wanted to like Mr. Link, but he's just so fucking annoying and not funny. And even though, like, Sir Lionel Frost is like, yeah, he's arrogant, but he's not arrogant to the point that you really dislike him for it.
Well,
either.
Part of it's that, like, you see the arrogant part of you dislike them for it is the bad guy. He's the one that's just the notch below it, or another notch below it.
Right.
But he's charismatic about it because he's Hugh fucking Jackman.
Yeah.
And so it's just
maybe
it's
he
tough.
Was too charismatic. I don't
that's
know.
That's part of it, I think.
Because I genuinely liked his character. I would watch another film that followed his character.
But what I loved about it was that he was charismatic, but it would fail constantly.
Yeah.
Like when he's trying to hit on Zoe Saldana's character to get the map. She's just like, I ain't falling for any of this bullshit.
Yeah, and I like that. And then I like the way that he immediately recovers and has a backup plan. He's like, every time he's like, no, you're totally misreading me. That's not what was happening.
I also love how truthful he was about things. Because he's just like, you're just trying to do it for the map. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, doesn't say anything else.
It's like one of those, oh, you got busted? Well, the best thing you can do is own it and move to the next stratagem.
He's, oh, god damn it. But that's the thing is, like, the more you talk about it, the more it's like, I liked him, and I like Mr. Link, and I like Zoe Saldana's character, because all of them, like, they work together in a way that I didn't really anticipate as much. And there's a lot of little cool sequences here and there. I really appreciated how they would show how they would travel, because it was almost like that sort of Indiana Jones line, but it's him literally plotting out which way they're going to go, and then they would go that way, and I thought that was really clever of them to do. And but there's a lot of humor that's just sort of falls flat, like you said, but yeah. I think I liked it a lot, still, at the end of the day.
I'll say the main thing that I found disappointing, though, wasn't even any of that. It was that after every Leica film, having something about it visually that so stood out that even if you didn't like anything else about the movie, which has been the case for me with some of them, you still couldn't help but admire what they were visually doing with it. I found this kind of bland. There's just nothing to recommend this thing overall visually. This is the thing that more than anything made me think of Illumination Entertainment. It's just kind of there. It doesn't have anything super special about it that makes you go, yeah, say what you will, it was gorgeous to look at. It wasn't. And you can say that about all the other Leica films. They were gorgeous. This one you can't. At least for me.
I mean, I wouldn't go that far.
I mean, it's not terrible looking or anything. It doesn't look like some flash animation online. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's just standard. There's nothing that you go, wow, I've never seen anything.
I'll admit that it doesn't raise any bars, but I think that it's done very well.
Okay.
I think it's just a fun little adventure film, and it's all it tried to do. And I think
it takes place in the Victorian age on Earth. You know, there's no neo-futurism. There's not even any steampunk, you know, if they had, which might have been something really cool to do with this. That could have spiced it up quite a bit, but they didn't do that. What this suffers from, it certainly isn't the cast, and it certainly isn't the visuals. And it's not even bad writing. It's just lazy, obvious writing, you know. And it is bad. But it's not like there wasn't anything in here that made me wince. And you know, I didn't find any of the jokes didn't irk me as much as they did you, apparently. But there's just there's you know,
I wasn't irked. I was just like, yeah.
I just
if this if this were a baseball game, it would just be singles the whole fucking game.
There's, pretty much, like,
you know, nobody ever hits it out of the park. Nobody ever gets on fucking third.
Yeah, every gag, just, you know, at least worked, or not every gag, but most of the gags at least worked for me. Like, I chuckled enough to be like, you know, I actually really enjoyed my time watching that movie. It's not like the last movie that we had reviewed, which is Early Man.
Oh, the last movie from Aardman, it was not good. Yeah,
Jesus.
Yeah. That was what happened. Holy
shit. I kind of walked out of there like almost having Phantom Menace syndrome going, like, it couldn't have possibly been that unenjoyable. Like,
how could that have been the first Aardman film I've seen that you actively disliked and will never watch again?
Yeah, I hated that film. But that's why, like, you saying that this is like an Illumination film, it's like, I felt like Early Man was. And this is just, like, subpar DreamWorks, I feel, more than anything.
I mean, not to say Illumination hasn't done some truly terrible films, because they have, but they've also done a lot of films that are, like, okay to good. Like, and I felt like this fell into the okay category. It's fine. It's just, there's so much competition in this field, and Leica is so well known for at the very least visually upping the bar, that I felt like this one felt that they were not really trying.
Well, and also their last last big thing was it was such an incredibly original story. I mean, there was nothing in Kubo and the Two Strings that we had seen before. It was just really amazingly different and fresh.
Yeah, and visually as well.
Yeah, and this was just kind of like, all right, well, you know, I guess you're playing to your strengths, but...
Yeah, this is probably their palate cleanser after that, to be honest.
I mean, I'm kind of startled that the director of Kubo went on to do Bumblebee, the brand new reboot of the Transformers film, which I genuinely really enjoyed, and I'm like, wow, I can't believe I like
it. It's across the board the best Transformers movie from everything that I have heard.
I can't believe I like a Transformers movie a lot more than the latest Leica film. That's where I am.
Really?
That's where I sit. But anyway, let's go to final thoughts. Michael, what do you think?
I think the film was enjoyable. It's just a fun little adventure. Sure, there's a lot of plot points just kind of happen. But there's every time I thought I was going to get bored with it, there's another small gag that made me laugh enough to be like, you know what? I'm still with these characters the whole way through. The final reveal about what's going on with the Yeti, I thought was kind of fun still, even if it was also predictable in some kind of capacity. And the fact that my only real big issue is that, like I said, that Hugh Jackman's character kind of just randomly learns a lesson, and all the villains just sort of go away, I guess, and then it ends, and it's just, other than that, like, but I will give it props for what it did with Zoe Saldana's character, especially at the end, and I think it was, I liked it a lot. I can't blame anybody if you watch it and you're not, like, super blown away by it. But, you know, it's worth a watch. I would give it 6.5 out of 10, almost times I got eaten.
Oh. Yeah, this is, it's just, this is a vodka and soda of a movie. You know, I guess in a utilitarian sense, if you're just, you know, taking your kids somewhere to distract them for, you know, an hour and a couple of minutes, this is
not going to be painful.
Yeah, it's not going to be painful. You know, it I enjoyed the look of the film. I liked the characters. I wish the writer had done a better job of engaging them, because they're likable characters. They're just not really doing anything all that special. And yeah, it needed something else to elevate it above the blasé, and it never really gets there. It's just kind of a basic bitch of a made movie. So, you know, it's like, all right, that's fine. Nothing new under the sun here. You need something to, when this comes out on DVD and you need something to distract the kiddies, by all means, pop it in. I give it 5.5 big feet.
It is a big basic bitch of a film. totally. Why that made me laugh so hard. It's it just kind of is. It's fine. It's fine. It's just nothing that I'm gonna forget I even saw it 2 years from now.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go like, did I watch that movie? I guess I did. I don't know. It's just not very memorable. And from Leica, I expect, even if I don't particularly like it, it to be memorable, and I didn't feel like that had any of any qualities there. At its best, Hugh Jackman really is nailing it as Sir Lionel Frost. He is terrific in this. He found exactly the right notes to play this character, and it's a cool-looking character. I like the way they designed him, but I didn't feel that way about everybody else. I thought it was a little weird that Link looks like he has feathers, not hair. I was like, what is that? He looks like he's got feathers. Like, the design of him was odd. I was like, what? And not in a super creative way, in a way that felt like, well, hair would have been too hard. So,
especially for what they were doing, at least.
Yeah, I don't know. But I just I don't know what else to say other than, you know, positive meh. I'm going to give it the same rating as Beau, only even though I am not a Rotten Tomatoes critic. I want to be clear that if I was, I would want this to still be listed on my review as fresh, not rotten, because it's not rotten. It's not terrible.
It's got just some spots.
It's just barely fresh. But enough that I go, sure, see it, whatever. Just don't expect Kubo. It ain't no Kubo.
Yeah. Is that out of 10?
Huh? Oh, sorry, yeah. 5.5 out of 10 times that I wish the Loch Ness Monster came back as their other buddy. Because that's the best part of the whole movie, I thought. The opening of the Loch Ness Monster, I was like, I am totally in. This is cool.
Yeah, no, it would have been nice if it had been 10.
Yeah, Loch Ness, even though his design is weird.
The head point design was very
I was like what is like, going on? Where is his mouth? What is his...
I couldn't figure that out.
Well, yeah. It kind of quacked, though, so it was like a duck.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sort of. Yeah, quacks like a... Maybe he was a duck. Maybe he's just a big duck. Actually. If it quacks like a duck.
Oh, it's supposed to be a plesiosaur.
Shush you. You're no cryptozoologist.